morning, Open Door Baptist Church. Happy Resurrection Day, everybody. You know, that's why we are here. So we're going to sing about why we're here, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So y'all, please stand and let's open up with a good old hymn. Your heads and will you open up with prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you for your son Jesus, God, and I thank you that he arose from that grave triumphant over death, hell, and sin, God, and through his sacrifice we can be justified and righteous unto you, God, and I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we sing praises to you, God, and upon the service this morning, and upon Richie as he brings your holy word to us, God. Speak mightily through him, through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Touch us and make us into what you want us to be, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. Last Sunday, you gave $456.24 to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And the previous Sunday, you gave $1,014.02. That gives a total of $2,533.01 towards our goal of $4,000. Today is the last day of the offering. If you would like to donate to the Annie Armstrong offering today, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. Thank you for giving to support missions, and please continue to pray for our missionaries. On a side note, I would like to invite all the ladies of the church to join the Women's Missionary Union at a meeting this Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in the Ladies' Sunday School classroom downstairs. The WMU is involved in various ministries inside and outside the church. Please attend this meeting to learn more. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pam. And we all please stand. We continue worship this morning.
Oh,
my Jesus fill. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, all is free indeed.
Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled.
Now
the curse of sin has no hold on me.
Whom the Son sets free, all is free. Because of that rugged cross, my salvation was bought and paid for in full. And we have that living hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. High the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my
mercy. What heart could fathom
Jesus, yours is so big.
bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And God, thank you so much that you have overcame. God, we celebrate today and we are excited to talk about the fact that you have risen. And an exciting and a joyous point we are in our worship service, where we get to talk about, sing about, and then learn about and truly give. Lord, I pray that as we pass these plates, as we do our offering today, that Lord, that you are blessed and honored by what we say, what we do, and what we give as well. Lord, I pray that today as we study your word, that as we talk about your resurrection, that God, today, that we celebrate the great joy that you have overcame. God, I pray that today as we study your word, that you allow our hearts to open, that you allow our minds to open, that you can let us see what you have for us to know. And Lord, I pray that your spirit rains down on this place. That, Lord, you don't speak what I'm speaking, but Lord, that they hear what you're saying to them. Lord, and if I'm not called to be the man standing before you today doing this, Lord, I pray you silence my lips and rise up the one who is. God, I pray that you guide us, that you teach us and lead us, and it's in your great name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I am not Pastor Larry. I know, crazy thing. Might sound a little weird, right? But I volunteered to preach today. I asked Larry if I could preach, and when I did that, I don't know, in my head I was excited with the idea of getting to preach on Easter, right? And Larry looks at me and goes, sure. Never did I think he'd say yes, right? It's, come on, it's Resurrection Sunday. Pastor Larry's not going to tell me, yes, I get to preach that day, right? It is the best Sunday to preach. Well, it is the fifth Sunday as well. So it's my turn to get to preach. So it kind of worked out that I had some ammunition here. Well, here what he didn't tell me was Resurrection Sunday is a hard Sunday to preach. I got to be very honest with you all. I was a little bit stressed about this sermon. I asked for it, but I stressed out a little bit as we got closer. Because as I started preparing and as I started studying, I started thinking about the fact that Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday is one of the most attended services of the year. Now, hold on. Most of you know me. right? I'm rich. I can handle talking to people. That wasn't my fear, to be very clear. The other thing that I realized is that Easter has been preached thousands of times by thousands of pastors, and I've heard much smarter pastors than myself preach these same words and these same topics. And so, you know, listen, this is kind of a big deal. But even that was not the piece that stressed me the most. Honestly, the stress that I came about preparing this sermon is that this sermon, that this message, that the resurrection message is literally the difference of life and death. And there may be some people in the room that understand that, most of you, but there may be some of you who have no idea what I mean. This message today is quite literally the greatest story ever told. No, it is not my words that are the greatest. It is God's word that is the greatest story ever told. And there's no new angles or no new ways to look at it. And much like Hollywood, if somebody tries to come at it at a different angle, like all remakes, they're never as good as the original. So as opposed to trying to come up with a new idea or a new take or a new way of doing this, with some wisdom from much smarter men than me, we're going to get into John chapter 20 today. And as we study the word, my only ask, my only challenge to you today is this. Every single person in this room, everybody sitting here, standing here, whatever it may be, I ask you to think about this one question as we study God's word today. Why are you here? Let's get into the word. In John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, it starts off pretty simple like this. It says, "Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. And saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. And the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes." Now, we're going to pause right here for just a second. Hopefully, church, if you've been listening for the last 3 weeks, you kind of have an idea with where we're at in Scripture, right? But just in case you haven't been here, for any of our guests and visitors, 3 weeks ago, Larry preached a sermon titled "The Garden," where Jesus was betrayed. And then 2 weeks ago, he preached a sermon titled "The Scourging," and that was when Jesus was beaten. And last week, Larry preached on the crucifixion, which was quite literally when Jesus was killed. Now, at this point, we talk about it. We call it the resurrection. So I want you to see what happens next. To start off, Mary comes, and Jesus is gone from the tomb. Well, what do you mean gone, right? That's the immediate question there. Well, in verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. It was still dark and saw the stone had been rolled away from the tomb." She gets there early. She sees the tomb has been opened and doesn't see, know where Jesus is. Friday, Jesus is crucified. It's Sunday morning. Jesus' body is gone. Mary starting this week, not a whole lot better than she ended last. As far as she can tell, as far as she knows, somebody stole Jesus. Now, this is the Lord, this is the teacher, this is somebody who's very important to her, and his body is gone when she's trying to do everything in her power to try and bury it properly. So she runs back and she gets the other disciples, and can you imagine the panic and the despair that they're going through? Jesus is dead, and now they can't find him. The fear of who would move Jesus or who would take his body starts going through maybe their heads. But they get there. This is Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved. They get there, and all they see is the cloth that he was in. It says, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Now, I'm gonna tell you a little story here. This is a little dinner etiquette. All right? When you're done with your food, you take your cloth off, and you throw it on your plate when you're done, right? How many of you fold up your cloth when you're done eating? Okay, Zeke asks who uses a cloth at all. All right, some people use napkins around here, right, Zeke? In Jewish culture, right, especially those who had slaves and those who had owners, the masters, the leaders, the teachers, they would, when they were done eating, they would take their napkin and they would throw it on the table. Okay? They would put it on their plate, much like we do today. But when they weren't done, they would fold it up nice and neatly and set it on the table. This little cool piece of dinner etiquette is actually really interesting for how Jesus left his face cloth. See, he wasn't done yet. He was coming back. He left this little, let's call it an indicator, right? This little clue that he was coming back. The resurrection brings us a handful of things that I want to share with you today. And the first one I want to share with you is that the resurrection brings us hope where there is emptiness. Listen, the tomb was empty, and it was scary. And to be 100% honest, there's emptiness in our lives. When Jesus is not in our lives, when we're not focused on him, there's something missing. Now, there's some Christian mantras out there, like the Jesus-shaped hole in your heart, and you know, some of those corny little things that I could tell you, but the truth is, in our lives, when we look around us, when we look at the lost out in the world, when we look at the way our day and age is existing, there is emptiness all around us. People are trying to fill that hole with anything that they could possibly find. There's hope when there's emptiness, because even though that tomb was empty in that moment, he's coming back. But see, that's not where the hope ends. So as we continue to read, and we go into verse 11, we see this. It says, but Mary stood, weeping outside the tomb, and she wept. She stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. No, hope isn't just that he's coming back. There's hope in the fact that he is risen and he has returned already once. There's hope because he conquered death. Listen, I don't think anybody in the world truly handles death well. Death is a difficult thing to go through. It's a difficult piece of life. When a loved one or a friend or a family member dies, it's difficult. And I think from what we can see through Scripture, Mary, feeling as though Jesus was dead, is lost in her mourning. She's focused on the death, and she didn't initially see Jesus, right? And it wasn't until verse 14 where, having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. She couldn't see Jesus right in front of her. Funny thing about life is that we all are busy. We have chaos in our lives. We all have our own stories, our own adventures. My adventures this week was the crazy decision I had made to get a new dog. I couldn't remember that the amount of stress and chaos that a new dog added to the family until this week. Love my new dog. But it's chaos. And we get busy. Right? Sometimes we travel, right? And for those of you out there, sometimes when you start traveling, you get busy and you get into the routine and life gets hectic. And sometimes you can't see what's right in front of you, right? See, the resurrection shows us, it brings us community when there is loneliness. See, here's the thing. Mary didn't know what to do except to cry, except to weep, to mourn. Jesus tells her to go back to the disciples. Tells her to go be with people. Go tell about what he's done. Jesus is there for us. He's here for his people. And he told Mary to go be with other people. Do you ever feel like you're alone? Have you ever felt like nobody else is around you or nobody understands what you're going through? Or maybe you're going through that difficult time that you just don't understand what to do next. Or maybe it's just that you don't understand why nobody else sees things the way you see things. There are people around all the time. Sometimes we just don't see them. Jesus was right in front of Mary, and yet he couldn't see her. I'm sorry, that she couldn't see him. Reverse that there. She couldn't see him, even though he was right in front of her. Jesus is here for the people. He is the comforter. He is the Prince of Peace. He has come to bring peace. He has come to be there for the people. And he provides a community of people to surround yourself in. That's what Open Door is, right? We're a church. We're a community of people. And let me very quickly remind, we're a community of broken people. Okay? We are not perfect people. Right? I don't care who you're talking to or who you're talking about. We are not perfect people. I mean, Matt is sitting in the congregation. If he's sitting with us, we know we can't be perfect people. Right, Matt? And I'm standing up here, so we definitely know there ain't perfect people in the building. Listen, we are filled with a group of non-perfect people. We're going through stuff. We have bad days. Listen, be very clear. We all have bad days. All right? You never want to cross Larry on a bad... No, I'm just kidding. We all have bad days. We all have rough times. And you know what? That's why we're a community of people that can be there for one another. We can provide. We can support one another as Jesus calls us to do. But let's look at what happened when he sent her off. Let's what happened next. So go to verse 19, and it says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, where they were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, and as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld. See, Jesus appears in the community of believers. Jesus is here within the community. He's working through us. He's speaking through us. He's living through us because he's in us. He showed them the scars of what happened. He showed them that he has risen. Verse 20 says, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The moment they saw Jesus, I can only imagine the great joy that had to have overcome them, the excitement that the disciples had felt at that time. I mean, these guys are the same guys who asked if he could calm, who was this guy when he calmed the sea while they were in the boat, and now he just conquered death. He doesn't just come, though, and get them excited or just bring them joy. He comes and he challenges them. In verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And when he said this, he breathed out onto them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The next thing I want to share that I think the resurrection brings us is strength where there is weakness. See, they were afraid. They were stressed. It's quite obvious they didn't know what to do next. Any of you ever been there? Afraid, stressed, not know what to do next? Not know where to go, what to do, how to function, because you just don't know? See, Jesus provided the strength. He provided the answers. Because where we are weak, he is strong. Listen, it's not always so simple like go over to Steubenville and go to this building and you're going to do this, this, this. Sometimes the answers are in our spirit, in our walk. Sometimes the answers are coming from us when we are in our weakest points. Sometimes it's God leaning on us to move in the right direction. But there was somebody who was missing when Jesus came to see the disciples. So let's see what happened to him. In verse 24, we see, says, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believed. Verse 30 says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, the last point that I think resurrection brings, the last thing I want to point out to you all is that faith, the resurrection brings faith where there is doubt. See, I've been a believer for a long time, it feels like now, and there's a lot of points in life where, I got to be honest, you start to struggle. Listen, I know who God is in my life, and I know he is faithful, but there have been times where I've been in those valleys, in those dark places, and it makes you just stress. It rocks your faith. It even casts doubt at times. I've actually got some friends who are really good fishermen, okay? One of them who loves to tell fish stories. And this one time, we're sitting there, and he's telling me this fish story, and he's telling me about this fish that he got that was like, I don't know, this big? And as he's telling this story, my immediate thought is, really? This big? That's what you got? I may have doubted my brother a little bit there. I might have maybe challenged or even questioned him, really? I think we've all been at that point in our lives, and I think that sometimes we want that proof. Sometimes we want the proof that you really did catch the fish that was this big. That was what Thomas needed. He needed the proof that Jesus was there. Jesus came and he revealed the proof to the disciples. He showed Thomas. And then he told him, Jesus said to him, have you believed, this is 29, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believed. The resurrection brings faith when there is doubt. Because the truth is, without the resurrection, what is there? You have a dead God like so many others. See, but our God didn't die and stay dead. He's dead and risen. The resurrection can bring so much for those of us as believers. But what is it all about? All clarified in verse 31 there. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, the resurrection is an incredible event that happened in history now. Other religions, when their gods die, they don't come back. They might be some great people. There may be great men. They might have even done some great things. But when their gods die, they don't come back. That's why we don't have religion. We have a relationship. Amen. The difference in our faith in Jesus Christ is that he paid the price for our sins, conquered death, and he says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is something to celebrate. It's something to celebrate because our Lord has conquered death. Our Lord took the sacrifice of our sins and he took it all upon himself. So the difference between life and death is evident when we look at Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. Understanding that Jesus is the way to life. because he is risen. See, I asked you guys in the beginning to think about why you're here. I asked you to do that in the beginning because going over Jesus' resurrection, it may reveal to you some aspects of your life that maybe you're not happy with. Look, maybe you're here just because you don't really want to fight with your wife or your husband that day. Maybe you're here because you're bored and you had nothing better to do. Cool. Maybe you're here because you always were curious what this Jesus stuff is all about. Maybe you're here because you're an active, engaged member at Open Door and you want to grow. You want to worship with fellow believers. Listen, I can't answer the why you're here. That's between you and God. But I pray that while you are here, that God reveals where you need to be next. See, because he's risen so that we can have tomorrow. He is risen so that we can have a future. And he is risen so that we can celebrate with him when we go home to be with the Lord. So wherever you're at today, no matter what struggles or trials or difficulties you're going through, no matter what age of life it may be, I pray you know that Jesus is Lord, that he is risen and he cares for you, and he has a place for you. And in that, there is community, there is strength, there is hope. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. God, we thank you that you prepare for us a place. God, I pray that as we constantly study your word, as we go over it week by week and day by day, that we are always challenged, pushed, and called closer and closer to you. Lord, as we worship you in a final song today, I pray, God, that we just take this opportunity to ask you where you want us next. And Lord, I pray that is the path we run to. It's in your great name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Will you please stand with us?
Seems now I see him. Blessed Redeemer.